Always good to talk to you. Boys state tournament, you just got done. You and Mike, tremendous coverage once again on the girls state tournament. And, boy, a lot of great storylines in that girls tournament this year, wasn't there?
Yeah, there were. You know, Miller West gained the double, Pender gained the triple, and Skett finally hitting the single.
Yeah, that was tremendous. Oh, the Pender team, oh my gosh, three straight. I mean, we watched them a little bit because we had some interest in Class D1. The question is, can they come back and make it a four-peat next year?
Well, with Hadley Walsh and Maddie Dolliver, I think they're going to certainly be in the hunt. You know, now, excuse me, it's always a question of, you know, are they going to be seen? Or D1. You know, they won their first title in C2, then their enrollment put them in D1 the past 2 years. So you always have to kind of, you know, wonder with the boy-girl camp how those fall. But I think they're going to be tough in either class. And, you know, they probably would have been in, I would say they probably would have lost to Elkhorn North in the Nebraska Prep Classic when Hadley went down with her arm injury. And then they lost to Howells Dodge the next week. And I think that was just kind of semi-shock, semi-trying to figure out new roles. But, no, I mean, with, let's put it this way. Right now, the Dolliver clan is kind of the first family of basketball, isn't it? Because once Hadley Dolliver over at Malcolm, you know, gets fully healthy, you know, she blew her knee out in summer work last year. Put her with her little sister Peyton, you're going to have Malcolm right in contention for C1, and you're going to have Pender in contention with their cousins in either C2 or D1.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to see. That's quite a basketball family, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I mean, we had 4 years of Prince, but we've got a lot of years of Dollivers here.
Boys state tournament, I know we've got a number of storylines, you know, some teams back here west. You know, we got Dundee County Stratton, we're covering Class D1. They're back for a fourth straight year, and but they'll have their hands full. I know Coach Freeland and company are that Howells Dodge team, that number two seed there at the Devaney Center Wednesday night. It's going to be a handful.
Oh, the Jaguars, you know, year in and year out are you know, the Howells Dodge communities have supported athletics well for years and years, and then when they came together because of dwindling size, you know, all that did was bring the two athletic communities together, and you know, they still are successful in football, they're successful in girls and boys basketball and volleyball. So, you know, it's just tradition breeds tradition.
No question about it. I know St. Pat's is on that same bracket, and I know they had a disappointment last year, and I know they would like to make amends a little bit this year if possible.
Six times in a row for St. Pat's to go.
Which is no big surprise with all the great basketball players they have.
Right, but they didn't win last year, and they got Bancroft-Rosalie first-round match that... you know, Bancroft-Rosalie was with Lions Decatur for a time. Now they're back independent. And that's a pretty good matchup, but Devaney to finish the first day.
Still really, really looking at Class B. Of course, covering Bison basketball, we saw Scottsbluff twice this year. We just got them playing, of course, at Wahoo, and what their tradition in their final game in their historic gym, moving to a new place. And you look at all the rest of that field with Norris and with Scott and with other teams. Boy, that B bracket's going to be fun to watch.
Well, I think the more loaded side, certainly the upper bracket with Norris, Pius, and Scott. You know, Norris, to get back to the final, is going to have to take out Pius, which they handled really easily the first time. But, you know, that's the rematch is going to be much, much tougher. And then probably playing Scott, which would be a rematch of last year's state final and the game that Scott won by about 10 or 12 in Omaha that I saw. So Scottsbluff, I think, probably got a break when Warland, Wyoming lost its last game of the season. Instead of Scottsbluff being the number one seed and being in that upper half, they're now the number two seed and gets a Gretton East team that, you know, second-year team. They've had their ups and downs. They actually lost twice to Gretna, and Scottsbluff took care of Gretna on its own court in the district final. And then Wahoo, which moves up after being last year's C1 title, gets Elkhorn North, where there's a little ruder interest here with my son being the manager for the Elkhorn North team. But yeah, Wahoo and Elkhorn North, I mean, that's lots of tradition. I guess a team that's trying to build tradition and coming out of the shadows of again, 4 years of Britt Prince in that school.
You know, C1, we got three teams we're really kind of following. We got Cozad, we got Ogallala, and of course Sydney out west, and those western teams have some great matchups. Is this the year Ogallala maybe can finally make a run and get to a chance to play for a state championship?
Well, you know, here again, here's another rematch that, first round, you've got Duff and Treble, which the Indians beat 73-30 at Christmas time. You know, that's not going to happen again, but dealing with a little bit of a cold. Cozad, first time since 2014. Haymakers haven't won at state since 1971.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've got a traditionally strong opponent in Ashland Greenwood there for the fourth time. You take a look at that bracket. You've got Lincoln Lutheran, which is last year's runner-up. Then you got four teams that have been there 4 years in a row, in Ashland, Ogallala, and Donovan, and then Concordia, which plays Sydney, 5 years in a row. So you've got seniors that have played a lot of games, either at Devaney or Pinnacle. You know, that makes it a little tough for those that haven't been there.
And in Class A, of course, our good friend Coach Joel Heiser of Papio South, talked to him the other day. Is this the year finally to kind of knock the door down and getting out of that first round in the semifinals? It's been kind of tough in their recent visits, but they're playing as good as basketball as anybody right now.
Yeah, you know, I've got Papio South, the tournament favorite, but they're 0-4 at state under Joel, you know, who started the program. Last time there was 21, and they play a rival that beat them in mid-January by 10 points in Papillion La Vista. So, you know, I think all four Class A games, Rich, and I don't recall this, and you know how long we've been doing this, the four higher seeds all have lost to their opponents during the year.
Wow, if you go back and check your records on that, has that ever happened?
I was looking. We got a couple teams that won eight district titles in a row, and which would be Scott and Bellevue West, and that ties for the I shouldn't say that. Wahoo's got the B record with eight in a row and 10 overall district titles. Do you know how hard it is to win district year in and year out?
It's not easy, that's for sure.
No, and says a lot for these teams that do get back every year. So,
a couple of other classes, C2 and D2. Once again, we don't have any area teams, but no question, those two classes are going to be fun to watch.
Well, I think D1. Or we talked about D1 already. C2, Freeman only lost to Johnson Brock, which I think Johnson Brock looks like they're certainly the strong favorite to be a three-peater. Freeman's only lost to them and then beat them. Jim McLaughlin over there does a good job, but they've got Bergen in the first round, and Bergen is one of the hotter teams. You got Cedar Catholic down below that's been five times Rota State, and then you drop down to D2, and little old tiny Why Not, 5 years in a row, third place last year. That's an interesting bracket, Rich. Six of the eight teams the Norfolk Daily News covers. So it's a very northeast Nebraska-laden bracket, with the district finals the way they are. The only two that really are outside are Fullerton and Silver Lake.
I've got to ask you, Stu, before I let you go, who won the, between you and Mike Patterson, who had the best record in the finals picks?
Well, we do our own. So he sets the bar with four.
Okay, yeah.
So I have to get four or better, and if I If I sniff four, I'm probably headed to the new Lincoln Casino afterwards, or at least buy a lottery ticket.
You guys have a lot of fun with that, boy. It's a 2 week grind. No wonder you're fighting a cold a little bit. You're just going and going and going at all times for 2 weeks, aren't you?
It seems like it. So
yeah, you're going to be all over, of course, your Omaha World Herald prep zone, social media. You cover and you print a lot of exactly. You put a lot of stuff out there, don't you, Stu?
We do, and we always appreciate your attention out there. So.